Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to read verses 57 through 64 together. And I am going to give you just a little background while you're turning there. Many weeks ago, I guess 7-8 weeks ago, we started on a journey. And I'll be honest with you, I think an enjoyable one. We are teaching through the chapter of Psalm 119. Now, I'm not a exegetical type teacher, preacher. You won't find expository messages in the scripture, but I call this Bible study the ABCs of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has 22 sections of 8 verses each. And if you look, most Bibles have a little Hebrew word there and a Hebrew letter. Each one of these sections is represented by a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. For instance, tonight, verses 57 through 64 represents the letter Chess, I think is how it's said. If it's not, you don't know any different, and neither do I, so don't worry about it, all right? And it's C-H-E-T-H is how it's pronounced. And here's what's neat about it. The Jews would use Psalm 119 to teach their children the alphabet, teach them to read, and Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. By the way, the whole purpose of teaching children to read is to teach them to read the Word of God. Back when America had Christianity and back when America had character, back when our country was founded, and even what you would call an infidel had respect for God, our government said we need to teach children to read and we need to teach people to read. So number one, they can read the Bible for two reasons. One, so we can have a decent moral nation, and two, so we can have better citizens. Because the Bible will teach us how to be better citizens. That was the whole purpose of education in America. Tonight, let's read verses 57 through 64. You follow along silently. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Now, there are 8 different words used for the Word of God in this chapter. By the way, these words are used all the way through the Bible. As you read the Bible, you're going to see these 8 words come up over and over and over and over again. And let me review. It's the words law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and word. Those 8 words represent the words of God all the way through Scripture, but especially here in Psalm 119. Now, this section, the section Cheth of verses 57 through 64, each different section has its own little theme. I hate using the word, it's almost like its own little chapter, but it's got its own little theme because it's represented by a different letter. We all face opposition. We all face persecutions, and sometimes, I don't know how else to say this, most of that occurs because of what's going on inside us, not what's going on around us. Did you ever find opposition to yourself? Did you ever find persecution to yourself? Let me just be totally transparent. Battling opposition is tiring. It's discouraging. Did you know you can only fight so long and not get discouraged? Did you know you can only battle so long and not get discouraged? Now, there are times I get tired. I'll be honest with you. My body gets weary. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I don't get weary of the work that I do. I get tired because of the work I do. Does that make sense to everybody? I don't get tired of doing the work. I just get tired from doing the work. I try to take most Tuesdays off. This week, I needed it. I've been going and going and going and going and going. I didn't realize how much I needed it off. Man, by Monday night, my head was just, it wasn't throbbing. I just looked at my wife and said, I am just exhausted mentally. I got to get some sleep. And I did. And by 4:30 Tuesday morning, I was ready to get up and do it all over again. But I stayed busy and that type of thing. But there are times I get tired. I fight a lot of battles. I fight a lot of spiritual battles. I counseled two different people tonight. I counseled two people earlier today. Counseling takes it out of me. I have appointments tomorrow. I have appointments later this week. And you say, what is that? A lot of times you're doing battle with the devil. And I'm not talking about the one in my office, but we're planning a battle strategy against the devil. Now, this section of Psalm 119 shows how to endure these battles to get victory. I don't know about you. I don't like fighting, but I do like winning. I'm not much on fighting, but I am much on winning. I like being on the winning side. Now, I'm going to read a verse to you. You need not turn there because it'll take you too long. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 10, the Bible says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, watch this, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for living right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We read in verse 57, thou art my portion. God is saying here that when you live right, our inheritance is in heaven. And God is giving us that inheritance in heaven. Now, listen to me very carefully. Our portion is when we get to heaven. That means we need to live in order to get the victory. I wrote that statement down, and my mind immediately went to someone. I had a dear friend, an older preacher when I was a teenager. His name was Carlos Demarest. Brother Carlos was a wild Baptist preacher. He was the soul winningest man I ever met in my whole life. He was akin to Carl Hatch, and I'm not sure which one was more aggressive. I mean, it was just, it would have been a tight race. But Brother Carlos was nuts. I mean, he was loud. He was about 6'1", 6'2", weighed about 300 pounds. Maybe not quite that much, but pretty close. And you got to remember, this is back in the late 70s, early 80s. He had black hair, jet black hair, and he just slicked it back. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just slicked it back. He would talk to a busy signal for 20 minutes and try to witness to it. I mean, the guy was just crazy. And Brother Carlos had a big old husky voice. Dennis Corll would remind you in size and looks a little bit of Brother Carlos. But Brother Carlos was famous for a statement. He'd say, Bush, you got the victory? Yes, sir, got the victory. Good, don't lose it. And he still got the victory? And I'd say, I still got the victory. Say, why? Because, man, we were fighting and fighting and fighting, not with each other, but battling the devil. I remember we got to this place in Mexico. Our bus, it ran about halfway between here and Mexico. We pushed it the other half. I'm not kidding. We had to go up into the mountains in the state of Chihuahua, Mexico, and we had to cross the same river 11 times. We had one of those old GMC pusher buses with the diesel motor in the back end of the bus. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That bus couldn't make it up the hills or across the river. So all the guys got off the bus, rolled our pant legs up, took our shoes off, got behind that old diesel with its smoking black smoke, pushing that thing across the river 11 different times. We were in villages they had never seen white people before. We were the only white people they had ever seen. They had never seen a copy of the Word of God. They had Coca-Cola, but they didn't have the gospel. But by the time we got done, they had the gospel. I don't know how the Coke trucks got up there, but they got up there, and we got the gospel up there as well. But I'd hear him say, "Bush, you got the victory?" Guess what? You can have the victory. We're back there pushing. You got diesel smoke blowing in your face. You got muddy water splashing all over you, and you're sinking in mud, stepping on rocks. And Carlos is back there, "You got the victory, boys?" No. That's what you wanted to say, but you didn't dare tell him that. Now, this section of Psalm 119 is to help us focus on victory. Brother Carlos taught me something. Quit focusing on the battle and focus on the victory. You know, too many of us look at the battle and we forget there's potential for victory. God is telling us here in Psalm 119, let's quit looking at the battle and let's start looking at the victory that lies ahead. Now, there are going to be battles, but if we'll focus on the victory, we won't be as discouraged as we battle. Let me show you what I mean. The United States media has depressed America. If you watch the news, if you listen to the news, if you read the news, oh, impending doom, the number of murders, the catastrophes. Oh, we've got flooding in Houston, and we've got this catastrophe, and we've got an earthquake here, and California's going to run out of drinking water, and the earthquake's going to come, and it's going to shake off and fall into the Pacific Ocean. Glory to God. All those other things that could happen. Then you got the Pope saying, we've got global warming, and if we're not careful, we're going to ruin creation. I think that's funny. I'm sorry. He also said that the only way to fix the world from extinction from global warming is for Christians to give more money. He must have been talking to our president. Anyway, it just cracks me up. There's doom and gloom everywhere you go. No wonder America is depressed. Now, the Bible not only gives us principles to victory, it calms us down while we are under attack. Folks, did you ever see somebody that when they're under stress, they don't handle stress very well? Y'all know what I'm talking about? People that are under stress... There's times I'll be with my wife or my daughter, and I'll look at somebody, I'll say, "They're stressed out. Let's watch this. This could be a show." Say why? Because they're running around. They're like a chicken with their head cut off. Then they're biting this person's head off, biting that person's head off, and everything's falling apart around them. Is all they need to do is slow down, take a couple breaths, and say, "I can handle this." But they don't. They just, they're like somebody shot a BB in a steel room, and it's just bouncing everywhere. And they add stress to stress by stressing over the stress. I don't stress over stress. And I'm going to show you how you can do that. Now, I am not the greatest example of it, but I'm learning it. I've lived with a pretty high level of stress for a long time. And I've learned from the Word of God not only how to look at the victory that lays ahead, but how not to stress while under attack. General George Patton was said to have only flinched once under fire. He got so embarrassed that when a artillery shell went overhead that he flinched. He would go to the artillery range under live fire, and he would just walk back and forth as those artillery shells were being lobbed over his head. And he could tell by the sound of the artillery how close he could be and still be safe. As he did it more and more, he got closer and closer to the landing area of it so that he knew the sounds of the artillery so that he did know when it was time to duck. That, and he said, "I will never flinch under fire again." And I don't know that it's true, but they said that was the only time he flinched. Say why? He practiced to be able to be under fire and not flinch while the firing's going on. Now, I say that to say this. Let's look and see what God has to say here. Here we go. Number one, I think I have seven statements I'm going to give you tonight, six statements I'll give you, and I'll move through them fairly quickly. Number one, obeying, not just knowing, but obeying the Bible gives us focus. Obeying, not just knowing the Bible, gives us focus. Look at verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Not know thy words, keep thy words. God says knowing the Bible is good, but only as long as you obey what you know. Did you know you could quote this book from cover to cover and know every verse and still die and go to hell? I don't care how much you know, how much are you keeping? There are very intelligent people, and they think they know the Bible, but they're not obeying the Bible. You know, I can know a lot of facts, but if I don't use any of them, what good are they? So it's not the knowing the Bible as much as the obeying of the Bible that's important. By the way, you need to know it to obey it. That's why you're supposed to come to Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church. That's why you're supposed to read it for yourself. All those things are important so that you can know the Bible, but not so you can store it up here like a computer and say, ha, I know the Bible. So, what are you doing with it? Oh, I know it, but what are you doing with it? How much of it are you living? I knew a teenage young lady. She could quote scripture for 3 hours and never say the same verse twice. By the time she was 20, she had two children. She had been involved in the gangs. She had been involved in organized crime, been beat nearly half to death, was working on a third child, and it was just a mess. She wasn't even 20 years old. She could quote scripture for 3 hours and never repeat a scripture. I would tell her, and I heard others tell her, don't care how many verses you know, what are you living? It's not how much you can put in your head, what are you living through your life? So, obeying, not just knowing the Bible, gives us focus. Folks, when you start living the Bible, now listen to this statement, you'll be able to focus on the victory and not the battle. Too many people are panicking under attack because they're not living the Bible. Well, I know that. Preacher, I know that. Okay, I don't care what you know. Are you living it? Well, I know. I didn't ask you what you know. Are you living it? Everybody doing all right? Here we go. Number two. We need to want God to have his ways and desires over our ways and our desires. Look at verse 58. I love this. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Let me ask you a question. Do you love God enough to give God what he wants? And say just obey him, but give him what he wants. You know, I love my wife, but if all I ever do is the very bare minimum of marriage, woo, and not fall off and break my leg, amen? But if the only thing I ever do is what's required of me, I'm not showing my love to my wife. I want my wife to have what she wants, not just what's required of me to give her. Let me ask you a question. Do you want God to have what he wants? When's the last time you said, God, whatever you want, you can have it? Be ready. He might take you up. We need to love God enough to take what happens to give him what he wants. Did you know that there are sometimes battles come to make us stronger and to help us in an area we didn't know we needed help in? And we've got to die to what we want to give God what he wants. You know, when we focus on what he wants, the opposition seems to be less, and we won't take it as personal. You know, when I go soul winning and I knock on a door and somebody doesn't want to hear it, I don't get all upset. I got over that long time ago. Hello, my name's Craig, Pastor Craig Bush. I'm from Grace Baptist Church. We're going through the air. Y'all get to go to church anywhere regular? Slam! Say, they never do that to you, do they? Right. Say, what do? I'll stick it in the door. I turn around and go to the next door. I've had people say, don't want it. Well, may I leave this with you? Nope, don't even want to read it. Okay, have a good day. Jesus said if they're rejecting you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. Why do you take it so personal? Matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next town where they'll listen to you. I'm only responsible for taking it to them. How they receive it's up to them. Everybody doing all right? Now, I want them to get it. And I'll do everything I can to make sure they get it. But if they're just going to flat out reject it, I did my part, buddy. I don't have to face him for it. You do. Now, let me ask you a question. What does God want? Well, I can tell you. Let me give you five statements that God wants. Number one, he wants people to be saved. Number two, he wants the Christians to walk with him. Number three, he wants people added to the church. Number four, he wants people faithful. And number five, he wants people helped. Did you know if you focus on those five things and focus your life on it, you can give God what he wants? It's real easy. When the battles come, I go soul winning. I go help somebody. I go out and try to get somebody to church. I stay faithful. I don't let the problem shake me out. Then I'm not doing what God wants. I give God what God wants even when I don't feel like giving God what God wants. I got to hurry. Obey, not just know the Bible, gives you focus. Number two, we need to want God to have his wants and desires over our own. I want you to notice, he said, I entreated of thy favor with my whole heart. When you can get to the point where you look to God and say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. That's what I want. Boy, that's a wonderful way to live. Number three, obey the Bible quickly. Listen to this. So you don't do your will. Obey the Bible quickly so you don't do your will. Look at verse 59 and verse 60. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Can I tell you something? The more you look around under pressure, the more you're going to change your mind. The more you look around and say, boy, I'm going to go do this. And you start doing it and it's the opposition comes. You go, I wonder if I should have done this. You all know what I'm talking about? I wonder if God left me. No, if you did it and it was what God wanted, can I tell you something? Keep on doing it. Too many times we don't do it quickly enough and we start saying, well, I'm out here all by myself. God must not want this. No, if you did it and it was what God wanted when you started, it's what God wants now. See, doing what God says always works even if you cannot see it working. You may not see it work, but it will work. Oh, back in the medieval times, soldiers would fight. They would have what they call a standard bearer, someone who would carry the flag into battle. And one day there was a boy carrying the flag, and the standard bearer was wounded and started to go down. One of the young men dropped his weapon and ran and grabbed the flag, and he kept on going forward. Boy, the battle got intense, and all of a sudden that standard bearer looked around and He was way deep into the enemy territory, but his soldiers were way behind him. And they started hollering for him. They said, bring the standard back to the men. Come on, get back here. And he raised his flag and he said, no, you come to the standard. Don't bring me back to you. And they ended up fighting their way through to get to their standard bearer and won the battle. Can I tell you something? Get back to the standard. Here it is. You're out there all by yourself, but keep holding the standard high. You got to hurry to obey. Now, listen to this statement. If we delay obedience, we're more prone to be hurt or killed. If you delay your obedience, you're more prone to being wounded, hurt, or killed. You know, a soldier in battle is trained to react, not to think. I'm watching a couple of my military guys. If you hear a bullet whizzing past your head or artillery, you better know the sound of that thing, and you better react. You better not say, I wonder, is that what I think it is? If you took that long, guess what? You're not thinking anymore. You done got hurt, or you're in eternity. It's not the knowledge only that will save him. It is acting on the knowledge he does have and acting on it quickly. Let me show you what I mean. That soldier who has a bullet flying at his head doesn't say, well, let me give you the trajectory of that bullet. I can tell by the whizzing of the sound that it's an M1 round coming at me at these many feet per second, and approximately this many hundredths of a second it will be here and do its damage. It's tumbling at this rate. By that time, he's dead in a puddle of blood. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They hear a bomb dropping or artillery coming in. He doesn't stand there and exegete to his company the thermodynamics of that bomb or artillery round coming his way. Say, what's he going to do? Get down, cover up, and hold on tight. Because if he's there exegeting the thermodynamics of it, he's not going to talk very long. We got too many preachers out there exegeting instead of reacting and doing what God said do. Got too many Christians that are studying instead of going out telling what God said do. I got to hurry. Number four. Keep doing God's word even when it seems not to be working. Look at verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Does it sound like it was going well? It said the bands of people. That's not talking about a marching band either. It's talking about groups of people have robbed me. Now, the word rob doesn't mean they broke into your house and took something. The word rob means they literally held you at gun or knife point. They threatened your life to take everything you had. Now watch this. I love this. But I have not forgotten thy law. Even when it looks like it's going bad, we are to be obedient to God. Can I tell you? There's times you're going to feel like you got robbed as a Christian. I don't understand. These lost people, man, they're going out, they're partying, they're having all the fun. Why can't I have fun? I listen to teenagers say this all the time. Their fun ends in destruction. Man, living the Christian life, I've been robbed. I haven't been robbed of anything. I've never been drunk one time in my life, and I have not been robbed. I have never been high. I have never, well, I've had 5 kidney stones. Does that qualify? I have never taken illegal drugs. I have never done some of those things I've not been immoral. I've not been indecent. Can I tell you something? I haven't missed anything. I sit on my side of the desk, listen to everybody that has done that, regretting everything they've done. I promise you. Folks, I didn't miss anything. You know, I don't go to the movie theater. Hollywood has nothing on me. Say, man, you don't have any fun. I'm having more fun than you know what to do with. I made a phone call to some business today. Somebody answered. I know what it was. I had to call the college today in Kentucky. Little lady answered the phone. I said, this is Pastor Bush. I said, how are you today? She said, I am doing great, Brother Bush. She said, how are you? I said, if I was doing any better, I'd be in my tree stand killing something. She just burst out laughing. I said, what's the matter? She said, that's a first. I said, good, I'm glad to be the first. I said, but that's how good it's going. And can I tell you something? It's not always feeling that way, but you do what you got to do. Amen? So you got to focus on the Bible, not your feelings. Can I tell you how I make it through the battle? I don't think about my feelings. I think about the victory that's out there. I focus on obeying and not my feelings. See, if I start focusing on my feelings, I'm going to stop obeying and start looking around. By the way, I do have feelings. I know that's hard for you to believe, but I do have them. You know, and the Bible doesn't say it's going to be individuals who hurt you. It says it'll be bands of people. Can I tell you something? I am 48 years old. I had to think about that for a second. I am 48 years old. I've had a lot of people over the years hurt me, rob me. I've had people rob blessings. I've had people rob victory. That's okay. God's keeping score, not me. It hasn't been one or two or three or four. You ought to read my mail for about 30 days once. It gets real exciting. It really does. Wait till you have to read your mail and then call a lawyer. Make sure you're protected. And it happens. It's okay. You say, doesn't that discourage you? No. I talked to a preacher this week. He said, man, the devil's fighting. You know what I told him? I said, brother, bless God, that means you're going the right direction because the devil doesn't like it. I said, keep the pedal to the metal and let's fight this thing together. He said, Brother Bush, every time I get down, you kick me in the backside and get me going again. I said, I don't mean to kick you in the backside, but we got to keep on going. I said, the opposition means you're going the right way. I said, these guys that don't have any opposition worry me. He said, I'm ready for battle. I got a text for him before church tonight. He said, ready for battle. Here we go. I said, I got the southern flank. Here we go. Folks, we're in this thing together. Let's just keep it going. And it's not going to be one person that hurts you. It's going to be hurt after hurt after hurt after hurt after hurt. Life is hurtful. Sin hurts. When the hurt and disappointment come, run to that book, not away from that book.
That's right.
Well, I tried it once and it didn't work. You didn't work it. You didn't work it long enough to find out. You're not going to find out this side of heaven sometimes what good you really did do. You really won't. You won't find out till eternity what the end result of what you did was. Who are you to judge whether it worked or didn't work? As long as you're obeying God, that's all you got to worry about. And I have to hurry because I made a promise. Here we go. Number five, praise him when you can't sleep. Don't worry. Praise him when you can't sleep. Don't worry. Look at verse number 62. At midnight I will rise and give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Folks, let me teach you something. This is a wonderful truth. I don't worry through the night, but I wake up a lot. My wife will say, what are you worried about? I'm not worried about anything. I told the Lord a long time ago, you wake me up anytime you want in the middle of the night, I'll pray. There's times that I'm up every hour. God's putting somebody on my heart. I'll pray for them. Go back to sleep for a little bit. Wake up again. Pray for somebody. Go back to sleep. Sometimes I pray for a lot of folks. Go back to sleep. And then get back up. I'm not worried. One morning early, about 4:30, I texted a man. I said, I don't know what's wrong, brother, but I've been up every, I was up at this time, this time, this time, this time, throughout the night. I'm up now. I'm staying up. I've been praying for you all night long. He texted me back and he said, Brother Bush, you may have kept me alive tonight. He said, I thought I was dying. He said, at every one of those times, I didn't think I was going to make it. He said, I showed the text to my wife and she fell down beside the bed in a puddle of tears. She wants me to thank you. Whew. I don't know about you, but that gives me chills up and down my spine. I love that man. I didn't know what I was praying for. I wasn't worried. I didn't know he was even sick. God did. I thought, what an honor. God feels he can wake me up, talk to me. Let me talk to him. I don't worry. I don't fret about the problems all night long. I'll praise God. There's sometimes I can't sleep and I'll just lay there and praise God. The other morning, what was it, yesterday morning or Monday morning? Man, about 4 o'clock, there was a flash of lightning and a crack of thunder. The whole house shook. It even woke my wife up. All right? And that's some pretty serious thunder at that hour of the night. And I thought, wow. I said, do you hear that? She said, how could you not? I said, praise God, that was a good one. Glad I missed the house. That's what I said at 4 a.m. Praise God. I wasn't being spiritual. I was just thankful it didn't hit the house. I thought it did for a minute there. Now, wait a minute. Thank God for being God. Thank God for being in control. Thank God he keeps his word. Thank God he's not affected by your opposition. Thank God you're not opposing him, and learn to praise and pray, not worry at night. You want to learn how to get the victory? Don't lose sleep over it. And when you can't sleep, pray. And not about the problem, pray for somebody else. Amen? All right, number 6, and I'm done. Whew, and I got to hurry. Learn to look for God's love all around. Look at verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Folks, I'm going to make a statement here. I don't think it's real smart for us Christians to walk through life and smell a rose and say, wow, that's a sign from God. I'm supposed to marry somebody named Rose. Good thing I didn't. They would be Rose Bush. Amen. But anyway, we get real spooky with signs. Can I tell you what those signs are? You look up in the morning early. That's before 5:30 or so when it's still dark outside. Most of you don't realize the sun doesn't just turn on. It comes up real slow. All right, but you ought to go out early one morning and watch the sun come up and look at God paint the sky. Wow. That every time I see that, I say, God, you are just amazing. And by the way, he paints a new one every morning. And he paints a new one every evening. What a beautiful artist he is. These are not signs. They're to be reminders of him. You know, there are certain songs we sing, and you'll hear me every once in a while. We'll sing the song, Living by Faith in Jesus Above. Who do you think of? Lester Roloff. That was a song he was known for. Not long ago, we sang Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. I knew that was Brother Heil's favorite song to start a church service with. And it reminded me of Brother Hiles. Just so you know, Brother Hiles wasn't standing here saying, you remember me? If that would have happened, I'm out of here. That's that spooky charismatic garbage. But there are certain things that remind us. When I smell a vanilla-scented candle, I think of my wife. That's her favorite one. And that or cinnamon. She loves both of those. I don't smell a vanilla candle without thinking of my wife. Now, that vanilla candle is not a sign of my wife. It's a reminder of her to me. Everybody understand that? So when you walk through nature and you walk through this earth, why don't you remember how much God loves you? I love watching nature. I love looking at the clouds, even the dark ones. I love all the different configurations that God does with the clouds. I love watching the animals. My dad and I were working on something yesterday outside. There's a bird. It was just a squawking on the other side of the fence. I said, man, he's not real happy. And I started squawking just like the bird, and it just hopped up and looked at me, took a look at my dad, looked at me, and out of here. I said, well, at least we got a little quieter. Sometimes it's hilarious. I love deer hunting. I love watching deer. I love watching them run and play. I really love to watch them when I'm doing this, you know. Anyway, I enjoy watching nature. Folks, God's love is all around you. He gives you reminders. How many times do we not take time to look at it? Oh, I'm just so stressed. I got so much problem. Take a walk. Take a walk. Go look at God. Go look at his reminders of how much he loves you. Sometimes I just get up and walk away from the office, and I'll walk around the building, I'll walk around the trees, and just take a look at God for a while. And say, phew, you sure do love me. I can make it. Here we go. The battle you face will not last forever. I don't even care if it's your health. I don't care if you have cancer or heart disease. Doesn't matter what it is. You say, well, I might die in this battle. Guess what? There's eternity awaiting you, and you won't die there as long as you've been saved. It won't last forever. Well, it seems like it. Yes, it does. But it won't last forever. I love Psalm 119. I love this little section. I love in the back of my brain hearing Brother Carlos, hey, Bird and Bush, still got the victory? Yep, still got it, sir. Still got it. If we'll focus on the victory and not the battle, by the way, it makes the battle go a little easier. I hate to tell you this. I read the last chapter. We won. I already can tell you who wins. We win. What are you worried about? Worst thing to happen is you go to heaven. Oh, wow, hurt me. And by the way, I think the worst thing is we get left back here behind to keep on going. I'm not worried about it. Folks, let's just keep doing our part. Oh, did you hear the news? Yeah, I heard the news, but I don't live in depression. Well, what if Hillary becomes president? We've survived Bill, Barack. We even survived others. I just know this. Each breath I take is one step closer to heaven and the rapture. Amen? Either one. You say, well, what? Focus on the victory, not the battle. Focus on the victory and not the battle. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We live a panicked life. We've been focusing on all the pressure around and not the victory that awaits us.